Hello, everybody. Good evening. My name is Stephen D. Kelly, and this is the Stephen D. Kelly Show. We are Truth Cat Radio, the one and only Truth Cat Radio. Welcome. Don't have a title for you. 6:02 right now. We've been having some technical difficulties. It's January 16, 2025. The only thing I can really tell you, well, we're going to do some review tonight, and I apologize for not having a big, huge show for you, but that's just the way it is. But I will talk about some of the things important. Oh, computer wants to keep making noises. Screw you. Screw you, Microsoft. Anyway, I will say this. A lot of new people have joined the group, and I assume a lot of new people will be listening to these shows and expecting something profound. And because of that, one of the things I want to talk about a little bit, review, is the whole idea of the people that somehow think I made up, not just the Getty story or all that, but like my background, my laser company, my work with the CIA, all this stuff like that. You know, because you can't find it on the internet. You know, that it's just really annoying, because when you've been wiped, you know, more than once. I mean, my God, it's like when Press TV banned me from all their shows. They removed everything. There's nothing out there. I mean, well, there's everything that I saved, but they took all the Press TV off of it. But that's just one example. The laser business. It's very hard for me to find anything on the internet. But if I wanted to, I could very easily scan old magazine pages with stories about my product or advertisements for my products. And what are you going to do? But you see, that's the thing. That's the thing about our modern country, or at least our technical information base right now, is that it's just like all this AI. If the information has not been put into AI, it doesn't think it exists. And there is a whole lot of information that was printed over the years that has never made it into digital format. Text or JPEG or image. My God, I remember when you had to go through all sorts of crazy work to prepare a photograph just to have it printed in a newspaper. They called that halftone, for those of you that don't remember. Yeah, they didn't just digitize a photo and upload it and print it. No, it had to go through a special pixelation process they called halftone. Archive of useless info. Anyway, but aside from bitching about people not being able to locate information, or the fact that there's so many new people expect me to provide them with all sorts of proof and backup information. I mean, you know, people haven't even read my book yet. That gets a little annoying, but at the same time, it should be expected. So I guess before I go any further, I should advise any one of you that are fall into that category to read the book, please. And if you can't read the book, listen to the audio. And from what I understand, it may be easier on your eyes if you listen to the audio, perhaps. But you know what? It's been 2 weeks. I'm taking care of that bad, well, let's just say he's dying kitty cat. He's sitting over here right next to me, still alive. 2 weeks, would have probably gone if he was outside in the dirt. But I was hoping tonight to kind of not just speak to the new people, but give them advice on what it is they need to do, not just to satisfy their own curiosity or their need for verification and proof and this sort of thing, but to understand the nature of our mission, the fact that we're not violent, and to better understand what it is I really expect from you, because of the fires, which are still going, and because of the ongoing, well, let's just say, onslaught of information, podcasts, broadcasts, whatever you want to call it, videos, content being produced by any number of people who are involved in various areas of the so-called truth community regarding the fires and the conspiracies and the speculation of what's going on or what happened under the Getty or how all of this is affecting child trafficking. Now, myself being the guy that's been crying wolf now for 20 plus years, it seems like, about the Getty and about the sex slaves, sex trafficking and all this. This is a little hard to take. It's almost like so many people now are waking up to who Gavin Newsom is. And it's almost every day now I've got someone comes along and says, oh my gosh, I had no clue that Gavin Newsom was somehow related to Gordon Getty. Now, again, I've been screaming this stuff for years. And of course, the enemy went to great trouble to make sure that you didn't hear any of it. But at the same time, I think you've got to be a little more responsible for your ignorance. I can't give everybody a pass on not knowing this stuff up until now. I mean, really, did everybody really have to get their homes burned before you guys learned these simple things? Anyway. Let's see, where shall I start? Okay, first of all, I understand that I'm older than a lot of the people who are starting to get turned on to this stuff and starting to become concerned. And so yes, a lot of the material of the documentation of the things that I was involved in are just out of the news cycle. You know, not too many people understand, know about Oliver North. Not too many people got gun magazines from back in the 90s, if you will. I guess that was probably when I was the most active, is in the 90s. But you know, I'll tell you, there's an advertisement of one of my lasers that I ran in a magazine called Handgunner. It's a half-page ad, black and white, using that process I was telling you about, halftone. Anyway, that ad was in 1994. See, 1994, they're still using halftone in magazines, no digital. But that today, if you don't have that magazine, you know, it's probably not microfiched unless you go to the print or the publisher, perhaps, assuming they're still out there. You could maybe get that page, get that. But, you know, I got it because it was for sale. The actual page from the magazine, removed from the magazine, was for sale. The single page was for sale on eBay or something like that for people who collected advertising for vintage gun ads or something like this. This was vintage, 1994. Wild. To me, this is wild. 1994. It's not 30 years. It's not... You wouldn't think it would be that much, but yes, that is vintage. And people were paying, I don't know what it was, $21 or something for the privilege of owning the page from that magazine. Wow, that means I got a whole bunch of $21 out in my garage. You know, I used to, whenever I ran an ad in the magazine, I always had a couple of copies of that magazine with little post-it notes. Yes, they had post-it notes back then, marking the page that the ad was on. So yeah, I've got that. I've got all that. Of course, the rat's got some of my magazines, but the point is I haven't gone to the trouble. Yeah, there. One of the other cats is invading the sick cat's cage. I haven't gone to the trouble to scan all that old stuff. And when I do, when I put it up there, it's almost like Angel Fire. Yeah, that's an old ad. Oh, I got to say something about this ad she just posted in the group right now. It's funny. This is hilarious. Okay, I'm going on a total tangent right now. If you were in the Telegram group, the Occupy the Getty / Stephen D. Kelly Telegram group right now, my little helper woman here helped me, just posted a link to a very, very old web page. Let's see, it was used to Angel Fire. I think that was the company that made these pages. Anyway, that page is still out there. And this is a guy that was actually trying to sell some of my products, some of my laser product. And the guy that put this ad up is none other than Vince, the reptile, the Draco. I know you're going to think, yeah, whatever, guys. But listen, You want to see a web page put up back in the early 90s by Adracto? There you go. Angelfire.com, Biz2, Marine Optics. Yeah, anyway. I just think that's a funny tangent because, you know, how often do you get to talk about stuff like that? A lot of you have also noticed I just don't care. But if you come to me, I know a lot of you, it's almost like now that the situation have become the way it has become, you know, with the fires and everything, and there's so many people like, oh my gosh, no kidding, this Getty thing is a big deal. And yeah, the Stephen Kelly guy's been saying this stuff for so long, and oh my gosh, what the heck? Yes, it's all true. And amazingly enough, because of that, it's almost like a lot of you are more patient with me. Like, perhaps it's because you understand that after this long, I'm a little annoyed and a little over it. And, you know, I'm a little, what more can be said? Seriously, I've put it out there, and it's nice that it's starting to blossom the way it is. But at the same time, this anger and this controlled invective, as I've been told, this rage has been there for a long time. And so I'm happy that you're here, but guys, let's put it this way. If you're listening to me now, if you've become involved in this group, I would put it upon you, especially if you're new to this stuff, because obviously the people that have been involved have been doing a lot of work for a long time. But if you're new to this stuff, I would challenge you to make it your responsibility that the people out there that remain ignorant cease to be ignorant. In other words, if it took 20 years, 10 years, whatever, at least 12 years since I've been public all over the internet talking about this stuff, if it took you this long to hear what I have to say, to see one of those old videos, to connect those dots, instead of beating yourself up for not finding out sooner and not helping me to save all those children that have died since then sooner, take it upon yourself to take that responsibility to work extra hard, proportionate to the time that this has been going on. In other words, if it took me 12 years to get all of the attention that we've got right now, I can only hope that the people that are paying attention right now, and hopefully their short attention spans won't go elsewhere next week, but hopefully they will become passionate, they will become angry, and they will follow this to the end. And they will take it upon themselves, like I said, to bring in way more people and to fight ever so hard against the ignorance and the forces that have been used to keep people ignorant. Because it's very easy for me to say, well, you don't know anything because they've been blocking me. They've been shadow banning me. They keep me off of TikTok. They keep me off of Twitter. They keep me off of Facebook or Instagram or take your pick, whatever format, YouTube. How many times have I been kicked off of YouTube? How many times have I been kicked off of Twitter? How many times have I been kicked off of Facebook? Many, many, many. A lot of you will come in, new people come in the group and says, yeah, I remember you from Facebook. People, I didn't go away just because you didn't see me on Facebook anymore. Again, if you cared back then, you would have followed up, because I remember before I was ultimately removed from Facebook, because we all knew that was coming, that I made a lot of effort to collect emails and create new venues and places where you could connect to me. Of course, we didn't have Telegram back then, but at the same time, I'm not hard to find. If you Google my name, it will come up. Again, if you want to blame the forces that be the block your ability to Google my name and stuff like that, sure, I understand. Just like this channel right here. How many people lose the connection to this channel multiple times during the show? No, that's not normal. Okay? They don't want you listening to this show any more than they want me broadcasting it. This is why my computer gets conveniently shut down just before the show. This has been happening ever more frequently, right before the show. You know, it's getting worse. I'm going to tell you guys a quick story. Again, another little tangent. I'm actually having I'm filing papers to sue my city, La Puente, here, for their citation that they gave me for my political sign I hung up outside. It's going to be fun. But the funny story is that there's a guy who works for code enforcement over there. He's their tough guy, code enforcement tough guy. And I was talking to him one night on the phone. This was, you know, before all this stuff got heated to where it is now. But I was just making the rounds and trying to get to know all these different people and to work for the city. Anyway, I talked to this one guy. And he used to be a helicopter pilot for LAPD. But he also flew helicopters in the military. And I thought, hey, guy, did you ever do any CIA work? He says, well, I did have a stint where I spent some time in Africa doing some stuff. And I'm like, okay, that's CIA. And then the next thing you know, the phone goes dead. In other words, he couldn't hear me. I could hear him. He's like, are you there? Are you there? Hello? Hello? I can't hear you. Hello? Are you still there? I couldn't reach him. I couldn't do anything. I tried calling him back. Really weird of there, of course, because I could still hear him talking before I finally hung up and tried to recall. Of course, it didn't work. And, you know, I was doing business with the city trying to chase him down over all this, you know, citation business. And I tried calling him back the next day. And then I tried calling other people in the city, and I was having all this trouble. Nothing went through. And finally, sometime in the afternoon, started working again. Of course, I didn't get a hold of that guy, but I found out that the entire cell phone system, at least the cell phones that were all connected to the city over here that were in the possession of the city employees, including the guy I was talking to, all went dead at the same time and didn't come back on until like the next day. Highly, highly suspicious. But you know, again, story of my life. This sort of thing, it's not normal. And it's not something that everybody experiences. And again, this is kind of why it bothers me when I have to go around convincing people of these things. It's like talking about the Can't Be Killed Club. You know what? I mean, that's just the way it is, okay? The stuff I do was meant to get a violent reaction out of the enemy, much the same way as they did with Phil Schneider or Bill Cooper or Gary Webb or any number of whistleblowers that had untimely transitions. That's the nature. This is the model we're used to. So when that doesn't happen, that should tell you something. I mean, the very fact that I even say that, that's like basically challenging any nutcase out there to try me, which is exactly what it is, because, you know, I've already been through this for so long. I've seen many nutcases die on the way to come see me, and it's just the way it is. So really, if I really have no problem telling anybody that whatsoever, and they know it. I don't know. I guess it's kind of like human ego. A lot of people have issues with this sort of thing. And I'll tell you, you know, when this isn't really an ego-related thing, but the point is that the information that I put out there, the whole Getty drama, the Getty story, the children under the Getty, all that, the monster that I created back in 2012, has become the big granddaddy of all the conspiracies, all the so-called conspiracy theories out there. It's the big one now. It has become the biggest. It's not just the biggest. It's not like, you know, your other bullshit flat earth and crap. This one's so big that they still actively have to work hard to deny and defend against the growing controversy that's being created by our movement. And so you could say that the 100,000 children being eaten, the portals, the secret space force, the mile deep metropolitan, all this stuff. So many people will say that's just outlandish and crazy. And yet, here we have, now that these fires have started, incredible amounts of stories coming out from everybody that help support my mission, but at the same time are nothing that I would ever say. One of the most recent, of course, more and more of these things are somehow referencing me, features Ali Carter, of course, and she's talking about P. Diddy and even, what is it, Cat Williams coming out and says, yeah, these fires are not a mistake. They're meant to hide evidence and yada, yada. I mean, here's the thing. I'm not wearing a cowboy hat trying to get your attention with a shitload of bling. I don't need to. I don't need to build myself up. I'm not making any money off this stuff. And I got to tell you, when I hear some of these stories, to me, it's speculation. If you don't believe what I say, but I don't say, I'm not saying I don't believe these stories. Like someone says that there's something coming out of Area 51 starting fires. The point is, I require a certain burden of proof myself. I require a certain experience and exposure that's going to allow me to draw conclusions that resonate with me. Now, obviously, the information that I've provided has all come to me through experience, long experience. And this is why I've had to write that book and document it for you so you people will understand. It's not something that I speculated and made up. Imagined. So I just can't imagine what Ali Carter or Cat Williams or any of these people, there's so many of them right now, where they could have any validity whatsoever to what they're saying with the speculation about the various different conspiracies involving the entrances to tunnels being burned up in an effort to hide evidence. You know, let me just say this. If I had to imagine a scenario, okay, let's say Pacific Palisades, or let's say Altadena, let's say any area that's being affected right now, that there may be the possibility of massive, well, let's just say yeah, I would say definitely there's going to be some massive rebuilding. But the point is, if there was any tunnels, reselling that area to people that earned the access is more likely. In other words, very often there are tunnels there, whether or not the person living above them even knows there is an access nearby. These things are dug in advance. So it's very possible that the area could have been prepared in advance for rebuilding, so that just like Gordon Getty's private real estate portfolio, a new portfolio that could be created to have more tunnel access to those people deemed worthy. That's a possibility. I would give that possibility probably more credence than the idea that somehow fire is going to cover up trapdoors. Ah, yes. Which reminds me of that famous little quotation that came from that actress. What was her name? Drew Barrymore. I can never remember her name when I want it, but Drew Barrymore once said, somebody asked her something regarding a negative situation. I can't remember the great details of it, but she said something to the effect of, you know, sometimes when things get really bad, you want to just open up a secret trap door and go underground and get away from everything. It's like, wow, girl. We know you got access to that, being Hollywood royalty and all. She certainly does. But yeah, they all do. All right. Well, anyway, back to the gist of really what I wanted to tell you. Whether or not you have proof, whether or not you have something that you can give anybody, it just doesn't matter at this point, because at the very least, you should not need to become convinced to be concerned about the victims. I mean, the point is that if what good are you if you need to see the bones before you could be concerned about this. It's kind of like the programming everybody's getting with Auschwitz and all that, and there's so much of this bullshit that we've been had shoved in our face. So maybe that's the reason why they do these atrocities, is to make people numb to this stuff. But this is local. How can I address this? It's like, for instance, people that say, well, I need to go in a tunnel. I need you to take me into a tunnel. I need to see one of these entrances. Is it possible that we could sneak a camera in and make a video? Here's the thing. There are so many entrances. Take your pick. The Getty is the one I'm focused on, but there's always Disneyland, Mark Taper Forum, FBI building, yada, 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 all over. Speakeasies in Chinatown, everywhere. But, you know, I struggle sometimes, I think, to give you guys a true image of what it's like. And you have to understand, a lot of these cities, especially older city, L.A. is not that old, but it's relatively old. There's Pasadena, what have you, Riverside. Some of these cities are relatively old. And these big buildings they built downtown would have basements. And these basements would connect to the basements next door. And very often, these basements had sub-basements and other sorts of industry going on, heating, plumbing, lighting, steam, whatever, maintenance tunnels. There's a lot of it. The point is that the matrix or the labyrinth that connects us to these deep underground bunkers starts out as a basement, some basement under some building or some backstage area under Disneyland or some stupid thing like this. Remember, UCLA, 6 levels of basement, much of it deemed secure, national security. You want a place to go? They're all over. Where do you want to start? You want to start at the thing under Club 33 over there at Disneyland? What are you going to do? Force them to let you in there? You're going to explore all those tunnels. Here's the thing. Like I said, all those tunnels in L.A., that labyrinth, you could be in there all day, weeks, before you found your way to anywhere. You'd have to know exactly where you were going. Maybe get one of these victims to show us. But the point is that for those people that think that there's going to be some video that will take away all doubt and it will make people go, oh, it's true, we must do something and rise up. Bullshit. It's just like when I provide all my private images that were scanned from photographs that I took, you know, back in the 90s of my lasers and this sort of thing, because I photographed everything, you know, with film. And then I hear, well, you know, those images could have been pulled off the internet. The UFO could land on the White House lawn. This used to be the thing we'd say. A UFO would land on the White House lawn and people would say, prove it. It's an optical illusion. It's weather balloon. It's, what is it? It's Project Bluebeam. It doesn't matter what happens. It could happen right in front of your face, and you're not going to respond unless it happens to you. You're going to remain ignorant. So what's the answer? Well, as I told the guy today, I told him, and my advice is shock. You need to shock people. You need to use innuendo. You need to make exorbitant claims. You need to understand that the same way that we need to do all these tricks to try to get people to understand, it should make you aware that the mob is stupid and the mob requires tricks to make them understand, because the enemy has dumbed everyone down so badly that logic and reason and facts and proof are not good enough, because their emotions can be swayed and their egos will always tell them that this can't be true because I personally am not satisfied. My requirements for validation or verification have not been met because of your training and programming. Meanwhile, children die. Well, it's not just the children that are going to die. Eventually, you're going to die too. And of course, I'm expected to care. I do care about the animals and the kitty cats. I don't want them nuking and doing all these terrible things and wasting all that precious life. Anyway, guys, let me just take a look here. Oh, yeah. Hey, guys, looks like we got a nice crew here coming. Once again, I know a lot of new people have tuned in. But, you know, I'll tell you, there's probably a lot more of you listening than I see because I only see a small number. And I'll tell you, the interaction I have with people says, wow, I listened to your show. It's quite a bit more than what I see. So there's that. Looks like we've only been streaming live for 27 hours, which means that they've been turning off my server, too. Tsk, tsk, tsk. So much for me to edit. Okay, guys. The bottom line is that it shouldn't be up to me to motivate you. I think a lot of you, especially now that are coming along, are already pretty motivated, and perhaps you already have the fire, pun intended, to keep this going longer than the current events. And I appreciate that energy if that's true. But again, I'm going to ask you to do more than anyone that has come and been involved in this before. I want you to come in here, and first of all, I want you to have faith. I have to have faith because I don't have the time. It's like me going through all my folders with all my JPEGs trying to find proof for somebody that needs personal proof before they can do something. If you have a skill, if you have some ability that can help crack this open, get more publicity, get people's attention, shock them, bring them under our umbrella, make them want to be involved, or at the very least, make them want to find out more, have questions. You don't have to be a proponent of this information. All you have to do is present it as a question. What is this being said? Why are these people saying this? How could this be true? Who else is saying this? What have they said? Where did this come from? Is this even possible? What if it is possible? What should we do? Should we investigate? Should we be asking questions? This is how you do this work without... That's supposed to be my front door. It must be a cat. This is how you do this work without making yourself look like a nut. I already do that. Okay, I've been doing it for a long time. I don't care. If somebody wants to think I'm a crazy man because I'm saying these things, you don't have to act like you're one of my followers. All you have to do is care enough to pretend that this is a big question that needs to be answered and go after the public and say, what is it with this guy and why is he saying these things? And why isn't anybody making him stop if it's not true? Okay? Play devil's advocate. Do something. Take your camera. Go to the Playboy Mansion. Go to Club 33. Go to the FBI building. Go to Brad Pitt's house. Where else? Anywhere you want. Go to UCLA. Go to any one of these places and say, these have all been alleged to have entrances. Hell, Jared Leto's house. It's government owned. It was a fucking U.S. Air Force private secret facility. Of course it has underground connections. Where did he get that house? From Aileen Getty, you know? Again, the dots that you're just now connecting have always been there, and I've been screaming about this for long enough, and I just hope that I don't have to anymore. And even shows like this, I shouldn't have to come up with golden bullets and fun new ways of trying to get you excited or get this information across to you. There should be enough content out there already, if anything. Thanks to all the interviews I've been doing lately, I think they're great. But at the same time, that's what the format should be. I should be getting people asking me questions. Get the enemy to ask me questions. People are actually coming and going, has anyone made a serious effort to get Alex Jones to talk to Stephen about what's going on under the Getty? Are you guys kidding me? He's the enemy. The biggest clue of who's the enemy is that they ignore me. Joe Rogan, David Icke, Alex Jones. Hell, even Stu Peters, who was forced to talk about the Getty, used to talk mad shit about me because I wasn't Nazi enough for him. That's disgusting. Anyway, people, I don't want to spend too much time more on this because, you know, like I said, the fires are still out there. They're still going. I could talk about what's going on in Ukraine and stuff like that. I guess I could do that for a little bit before we Microsoft is screwing with me again. Of course they are. I could give you guys some perspective, but everybody is making a big deal out of Trump starting, and it is kind of amazing because he is starting to do some actual good stuff. But I'll tell you, there was a ceasefire supposedly signed today in Qatar with the Hamas and Israel. And, of course, Biden came out and said today was a big day because they got a ceasefire. And he made his parting remarks and stuff like that. But the thing is that Trump sent his advisor, his man, Whitcock or whatever his name is, to this meeting. He crashed this negotiation, basically. In one day, he got this agreement. In one day. Now, bear in mind, he's acting as a private citizen. Legally, Trump hasn't taken office yet. So what happened is technically against the law, against the Constitution. There's a clause that no one has mentioned. But yeah, having a private citizen doing that is technically against the law. But he did it, and Biden's taking credit for it. Another interesting thing that happened was Antony Blinken, Mossad agent, Secretary of State, decided to make his final appearance before the press corps. And one of the members of the press corps, a guy named last name Hussein, of all things, started yelling at him and basically asking why he wasn't up before the criminal court and why, you know, how does he feel being responsible for genocide in Gaza, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, they dragged him out of the press room screaming. And I think that's significant because, you know, it shows you just how bad things are. But just to leave it at this, I'll just say that the Biden administration is doing everything it can to make trouble for the incoming administration, especially with respect to Ukraine. One of the things that they're doing, Britain just signed a pledge to support Ukraine, to defend Ukraine for 100 years, amazingly enough. The European Union, the NATO leaders in the European Union, of course, are freaking out. Trump's only going to be there in 5 days or something like this, but they're really, really worried about it. I mean, if you see guys like the head of NATO, Donald Tusk of Poland, their body language, which suggests that they're all really expecting something really bad to happen here very soon. I'm not surprised. The same thing with Zelensky. He's making incredible statements here as we get closer and closer to this final judgment. And they're actually saying things. Some of these guys, these Ukrainian officials, are saying things like, you can't have a strong USA without a strong Ukraine, or without Ukraine, the Europeans are history, they're dust, they're going to be defeated. It's just amazing. Here's the thing. The Russians are pretty much at the Dnieper River, you know, and this is the river, of course. It's not like a big boundary river, but it's like a big artery. But this is the river that pretty much splits Kiev. The point is that when that happens, this thing that they call Ukraine isn't really going to be Ukraine anymore, because you can't sustain that country with what is going to be left over. And it's so bad that I'm not sure if it was Lavrov or Putin or Medvedev here that just came out, and basically they're starting to refer to the country of Ukraine as the territory formerly known as Ukraine, or the territory that is left of what was known as Ukraine that has yet to be determined what's going to happen. In other words, the territory that's already been taken over to the Russians, that has been determined. But the rest of the country, the rest of the territory, its outcome, its future, its fate has not been determined. And this has nothing to do with Europe, and it has nothing to do with the current illegitimate leadership of Ukraine. So the point is, it's all going to fail very soon, and the repercussions are going to be massive, and that's why we're seeing so many horrendous events taking place, like the fires. You know, I tried to put this into perspective for somebody, but I believe, and I could be wrong, I don't know what the square footage or the square mile area of Pacific Palisades is, but when you look at the devastation of the tracks of homes that have been burned, it's extremely reminiscent of the pictures that we've all seen of Gaza with all the blocks of buildings destroyed. It's almost hard to tell the difference between the two photos, except in the photos of Pacific Palisades, you can see Oprah's house is still standing. But if you ask me, I have to wonder, you know, Gaza is basically 5 miles wide by 25 miles long. It's not a huge area, but to me, it almost seems like the amount of real estate destroyed in these fires has to be pretty close to or beyond the size of the area that's been destroyed in Gaza. So the level of destruction, I think, is something that we can't sneeze at. And right now, the monetary loss, property loss, of course, we're talking now the value of homes and businesses and structures that were lost. It's $250 billion. $250 billion. That's almost like the kind of money we give to Ukraine for aid. It's almost like the same size as the $300 billion in stolen Russian assets that Ukraine has been hungry for. $250 billion. Are we gonna see the government fork over $250 billion somehow to help replace that? I mean, bear in mind, I'm not advocating that anybody gets a handout. I mean, my God, I don't get any stimulus. I don't get any handout. Seriously, people. Does the $1 million home that gets burned down, is it more important to replace that than it is to give a home to somebody that doesn't have one? These are tough decisions. Again, it's that responsibility thing. Who had the blue roof? Who had the stucco that didn't burn? Who had the pool with the pumps and the sprinklers? That kind of thing. You know, someone else told me, they're commenting about the whole business I've been famous for right now, saying, why the hell do these people not have sprinklers and keeping their houses wet while this is going on? He says, well, you know, it's the smart meters. Those smart meters, they heat up to whatever, thousands of volts and burn the house from the inside. I go, really? Of course, I wasn't like that with the guy. I was much more friendly, of course. But I said, you know, all you got to do is cover that smart meter with aluminum foil. Of course, people like to say tin foil, and I don't like spelling aluminum. But yeah, take foil, metallic foil, and wrap your smart meter up. You don't have to wrap the whole thing up, but that plastic thing that sticks out with the gizmos and the dials, yeah, wrap that up. And when you do, it will stop transmitting a signal back to the people that use that communication ability to tell your thing to heat up and destroy your house. It's, you know, you wrap your meter in foil, someone's going to say, oh, wow, what are you, a conspiracy theorist? What do you think's happening? Guess what? Your house isn't going to burn down. So simple. Of course, now even the gas meters have those stuff. Wrap them up. You know, I'll tell you, I used to wrap up foil on the gas meter. It has a smart thing on it also. And the gas company would come out, and they'd try to say, well, something's wrong. It doesn't seem to be working. I said, oh, that's because I got foil on there. They go, oh, all right, well, can we take a reading? I said, sure. Go ahead and open the gate, go back and take a reading. He'd take the foil off, take his reading, and leave. I'd put the foil back on. Does that make me a conspiracy theorist? No, that makes me proactive and responsible. So if you haven't done that, what are you waiting for? It's just like taking lysine. What are you waiting for? Orgone in the house, air cleaners in the house. What are you waiting for? A generator. You know how many people are suffering because they don't have generators right now because of Southern California Edison turning off the house because they're burning the fire, they're blaming the fires on Edison wires blowing down when it's actually Edison's smart meters burning up houses? Get yourself a generator. If you don't have one, why not? Why didn't you? Why don't you have an electric battery? Get an inverter. There's all kinds of things you could do. Keep your refrigerator running. Keep water on standby. Emergency lighting. Emergency food. Don't wait for a disaster to figure out that you need to do these things. Anyway. Don't wait for us to all be killed before you decide it's time to get involved with Occupy the Getty. You know, just to kind of pull this back before I run off and leave you guys. It's one of those interviews I did. You know, I'm sure this is normal, you know, especially if you're doing an interview and you've got a guest and you want to get that guest to tell you, come up with a final conclusion. Say, so, gosh, things are so terrible. What do we do? What's the answer? How do we fix this? How do we save ourselves? One word, Occupy the Getty. Yes, that's one word. It's the answer to everything. Occupy the Getty. Famine in Africa, Occupy the Getty. Chemtrails, Occupy the Getty. Cancer, Occupy the Getty. Fukushima, Occupy the Getty. COVID, Occupy the Getty. Corruption, Occupy the Getty. Pedophilia, Occupy the Getty. Anyway, people, I'm glad a lot of you are here. I'm glad you're all here, okay? But like I said, though, it's up to you now to take what I've put out there and run with it. And don't ask me to put it out there for you if you don't see it. Go look for it. Go look for it. There's plenty of information for you to become an expert on this information. And you shouldn't have to wait for me to provide old articles and printed documentation, public record stuff before you have enough faith to do the work. Because every minute that you waste, another kid is being eaten alive. I'm really sick of being the only one talking about this. You know, I'll tell you, though, some people, they take it a little far. I saw something that somebody wrote. And trust me, when I saw this, I don't even know what to say when I see stuff like this. But apparently, this is actually being spread out there. And it was a big picture of me with the words, this man has spent the last 20 years trying to tell everybody about the atrocities happening to children under the Getty. And then it said, then she said something like, you should know his holy name. And I'm like, oh, my God. But my gosh, people, seriously, I wish you'd just listen to me, okay? And when this happens and goes down and the whole world goes, holy crap, it's all true, you're going to put me on a pedestal then if I'm still alive? Not that I need it, but I'd rather you just made some fucking effort right now, you know? At the very least, prove me wrong, okay? Be devil's advocate. Do what you got to do. Anything you can do to give us publicity is a good thing. There's no such thing as bad publicity. So use the tools you have, the gifts you have, the resources you have, and make something that gets more people exposed to this stuff. It's really simple. All right? That's about it. All right. Before I run, I'm just going to remind you again. Well, it's first of all, if you want to help me out economically, there are a couple people that do. It'd be nice. There was a... I don't get that much anymore, but, you know, gosh, I kind of wish there was a little bit more, but I can't even remember what it was that I was thinking I needed to buy. Oh, that's right. I was thinking about batteries and generators and crap. Anyway, don't worry about that. I know what it is. It's a cat. That sick kitty here. Uh-oh. Hey, mister. I was thinking, how much does it cost for a bag of saline? It's a lot of money for, you know, if I can't even take the kitty to the vet, I can't afford it. But, you know, stranger's kitty, at least I can give him hospice and give him love while he's struggling. That's what's important. But if you want to help out economically, of course, like I said, the PayPal, which is the only way you can give me funds, is StephenKelly714@yahoo.com. And you have to say friend or family so I can actually collect it, because I'm not, you know, taxable and all that stuff. Anyway, I do appreciate that. Join the Telegram group, please. We just hit 8,000 people. Let's go for 9,000. I should be excited, right? Hell, I had 30,000 on Facebook in the QAnon group. I think we could do better. Just like listeners, I think we could do better. Doesn't matter how great you think we're doing, we can always do better. But if you haven't joined the Telegram group, it's OccupyTheGetty.com/StephenDeKelly. What else? Okay, email, of course, email is law17gun@AOL.com. The PayPal is StephenKelly714@Yahoo. But the email, if you want a book or anything, if you just want to say hi, healing, whatever, law17gun@AOL.com. Okay, so for those of you that say, oh, how do we know you made these lasers? Hello, law17laser? It's still my email, duh. Anyway, what else? Okay, I'll see you guys in the group, hopefully, and hopefully you guys will do so much incredible stuff that I never even see it, but eventually I hear about it. All right? Make me proud, okay? And I know some people are working that work really hard or are struggling extra hard right now, and I don't want to anticipate what's going to happen when I don't have their support. But I always need more people, because we got to multiply this stuff, and we can't depend on the people who are doing it now, because we're just humans. We're not going to be around that long, and we got to get this job done. Eternity and destiny is waiting for us. Okay? It's real important. All right, everybody, I'll just say once again, because I know some of you, this is important, but I do love you all. I truly do. And I'm very thankful for everything that you do. And I'm super happy that you're here. I'm super happy that you've joined the family. And I hope that you never leave, at least not until we've succeeded in our mission and we can all celebrate afterwards. But for sure, I do look forward to seeing you again next week and seeing you in my group. And like I said, if we can finish this mission tomorrow, we can all move on and forget about this crap. And I sure would love to do that. But until then, I'll see you guys here, hopefully. All right? So once again, my name is Stephen D. Kelly, and this is the Stephen D. Kelly Show, and we are Truth Cat Radio, www.truthcatradio.com, and it's still January 16th. It's now 6:55, 2025. All right, people. Again, Stephen Kelly, Truth Cat Radio. Good night. God bless. Adios. And goodbye.